Welcome to the Minnesota Military Radio Hour, where we bring you information about Minnesota's National Guard, military community, Beyond the Yellow Ribbon program, and Department of Veteran Affairs. Your host is Tom Lyons, the founder and owner of Phalon Partners Limited, a Twin Cities merger and acquisition advisory firm. Tom is also a Vietnam veteran of the United States Air Force and a member of the VFW and American Legion. Now the host of Minnesota Military Radio Hour, Tom Lyons.
Welcome to the Minnesota Military Radio Hour. I'm Tom Lyons. On today's show, we get an update from Minnesota's Red Bulls in the Middle East, and we talk about the help available for our homeless veterans at this year's Veterans Stand Downs. But first, it's time for Generally Speaking, a weekly message from the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Major General Rick Nash.
Since 9/11, there have been many organizations that have taken up the cause of caring for soldiers and their families. However, there is one organization in particular that I would like to highlight. The Minnesota Military Family Foundation, or MMFF, is a community-supported fund founded in November 2004. Contributions are made by people who understand the sacrifices that military families make in order to serve our state and country. Sacrifices that sometimes may result in an unexpected financial hardship for the military family. Whether it's a grant or a loan, the MMFF is there to help ease the burden of the hardship until that military family can get on its feet again. The foundation honors requests for household expenses such as utilities, rent and mortgages, household and appliance and repair, auto repairs, transportation and lodging for families to visit a hospitalized soldier, family counseling, and medical expenses. The MMFF makes a difference not only in the lives of the military family, but also improves the morale and safety of other military personnel. When a soldier is distracted because of concerns about financial issues back home, they are not fully engaged in the mission abroad. That puts them and the people around them at risk. The Minnesota Military Family Foundation helps turn a bad situation into a positive situation for the soldier and the people with whom they serve. When the MMFF helps military families, they make a difference for all military personnel and families. I salute the Minnesota Military Family Foundation for their generous service and goodwill toward the men and women of the armed forces.
Thank you, General Nash. You can link to the Adjutant General's blog, Facebook, and Twitter feed through MinnesotaNationalGuard.org/generallyspeaking. And for our audience, the Minnesota Military Family Foundation is holding its second annual MMFF Golf Classic on Tuesday, August 9th at the Tartan Park Course in Lake Elmo. If you'd like to help or make a contribution, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryFamilyFoundation.org for more information. This week, Lieutenant Colonel Brian Melton joins us. He is the commander of the 1st Battalion, 194th Combat Combined Arms Battalion, part of Minnesota's Red Bull Brigade, currently stationed in Kuwait. Colonel Melton, welcome to the Minnesota Military Radio Hour.
Thanks, Tom. Good to be here.
Colonel, you probably just arrived there last week?
You're right. We've been on the ground really about 5 days now with the entire battalion, all approximately 600 of us, and everybody's getting acclimated to the weather and getting here on the ground and getting ready to get to work.
So you're getting settled in. You're part of the 1st Brigade Combat Team, which has three battalions. Is that correct, sir?
Really, five battalions, but some smaller than others, but five of us.
And the 194th, what is your battalion's job with the brigade?
Our job, the Combined Arms Battalion, we're regularly an armor and mechanized infantry battalion. In this case, we're going to be a convoy security mission, which means that we'll escort sustainment convoys as they move up into Iraq, keep them secure so that supplies can get to other bases that are inside Iraq, as well as then escorting equipment as it comes out of Iraq as part of the drawdown mission of Operation New Dawn that's ending or should be ending December 31st of 2011.
And Colonel, you're the battalion commander. And how long have you been in the military?
I've been in 20 years. I was commissioned in 1991, and I've spent my entire career with the Minnesota National Guard and Red Bull Battalion and their Red Bull Brigade, and took a command last year, May 2010.
And have you been deployed before, sir?
I have. I had an opportunity to be deployed with the brigade when we went to Bosnia, and then I was with the brigade from 2006 to 2007 when we deployed to Iraq.
And, Colonel, I understand you are your civilian occupation is you are the Clay County Attorney.
That is true. I am the Clay County Attorney up in Moorhead, so I have the opportunity to practice law on my civilian side, but I don't do JAG work on the military side. I'm an infantry officer on the military side. I get the opportunity to work with soldiers and work on the infantry and armor side, so I really enjoy that as the role I get to take on in the military.
So Clay County is going to be missing you for a while.
Yeah, I definitely miss them there at home. It's a fun job to have. I had a great opportunity to be able to work there in that community, and they've been a super supportive community of everything I've done. So I appreciate everything they've done, and that my office has allowed me to do with the military as well.
Colonel, I know that you were training up at Camp Ripley, and then you spent some weeks over at Fort McCoy. How long did the trip take to get to Kuwait, and how are your soldiers?
They're doing well. We had a good train up. We had about 45 days at Fort McCoy. It was there were some warm days there, not quite what it is here, but a very good train up for us. We did a lot of work, driver's training to get ready for the trucks that we'll be driving as part of the convoy security mission. We logged about 44,000 miles with our drivers and did a lot of cruiser weapons qualification, things like that. Got a lot of things ready just for the soldiers to be fully prepared. And then we got on a plane, and it was about 24 hours worth, depending on the flight. Some of the guys had a little bit shorter flight than others, 20 to 24 hours from the time we left the U.S. till the time that we landed here in Kuwait.
Now, will you be training or working with the unit that's withdrawing for a few weeks before you're take control of the mission there?
We do, right. That's how we regularly posture it or work with units. The unit that we're ripping out with, we call it release in place. So we're doing a rip with them currently, and we refer to it kind of a left seat, right seat ride, meaning they're in the right seat, kind of showing us how to drive the truck, and we're in the left seat learning everything. The unit we're replacing is the 119th Field Artillery out of Michigan. They've been an excellent unit to work with. They've really done a good job of setting everything up and setting us up for success. So we spend a few weeks with them and learn the mission through them, learn all the different troop leading procedures and everything else that's out there that we can learn from them. And then in a few weeks, we'll do what we call a transfer of authority. We'll take over the mission. They'll be able to fly back and get home. And then we'll start doing the mission on our own.
So I would imagine there's a lot of people on that base right now.
Well, it's pretty crowded. I guess it's pretty crowded all the way through Kuwait with all of our brigade that are coming to different bases. And then, on our base right now with everybody here, it's pretty crowded, but it's really a good facility. We're pretty lucky here. They have a lot of different places for the soldiers to stay. I mean, most of the soldiers are either in about 6 to 8 man tents or depending on rank, some have their own their own apartment or what we call a can. So pretty good facilities for everybody to live in.
So you've been there for about a week. Are you starting to get settled in well, sir?
I'd say we're pretty well settled in, at least just to get started. We usually take a few days to get acclimated. The temperature has been about 120 to 125, so it's pretty warm here. It's kind of like having a blow dryer in your face all the time, so that takes some getting used to. I think that's a big part of what we do as part of our train-up. We really work to work on physical fitness training and preparedness to be able to take on that acclimation to the heat, make sure guys are healthy and ready to go, and then it's just a matter of drinking water and getting used to it. But no, it's a good facility, and we're doing really well here.
Colonel, we have to take a short break. Please stay with us. We'll be right back to you We're speaking to Lieutenant Colonel Brian Melton, the commander of the 1st Battalion, 194th Combined Arms Battalion, on the Minnesota Military Radio Hour right here on Newstalk 100.3 FM. Please stay with us. Welcome back to the Minnesota Military Radio Hour. Today we're talking to Lieutenant Colonel Brian Melton, the battalion commander of the 1st Battalion, 194th Combined Arms Battalion. Colonel, before the break, we were talking about the fact that your battalion and the rest of the brigade has been in Kuwait for about a week, and you started telling me about the conditions and so forth. It's hot over there, and are there special training that you put your soldiers through to make sure that they're properly hydrated and take care of themselves while they're on these convoys and these trucks in the hot weather?
Well, it's definitely, I think it does start with physical fitness training. We make sure guys are in good shape. We do a physical fitness test before we leave. We make sure if guys have had any difficulties with weight in the past, that they're working on weight loss, that kind of thing. But really beyond that, it's just making sure they stay hydrated, that they're drinking water, that they're not drinking pop and those kinds of things that might dehydrate you. And so it's just really comes down to discipline after that. And we've done a good job. We didn't have any problems when we were at Fort McCoy. We were starting to get into some 90s and 100-degree weather while we were there. As you know, it was pretty warm all the way through Minnesota and Wisconsin and didn't have any problems. We don't expect any problems here with any of that. But with all the, when they go out, they're wearing a helmet, full what we call a body armor, so that's adding a pretty good amount of weight, 40 to 50 pounds on each individual soldier. So it is important that they stay hydrated throughout the time.
How much water does a typical soldier go through when they're on their convoy duty and they've got on all that equipment?
Well, as part of the mission, they go out with we stock coolers in the back of the trucks, and each soldier probably has 8, 9, 10 bottles of water apiece as they're out on mission, and takes them a good amount of water. We actually have camelbacks, we call them. If you've ever seen them, they're ones that soldiers can wear on their back if they need to, and taking additional water. So either between bottled water or camelbacks or canteens, it's a matter of definitely taking in as much water as you can, taking in food as well. That's a big piece of making sure you don't get dehydrated and that you're taking in meals. And so soldiers are smart about that, and leaders are smart. They know it's an important piece. We do have air conditioning in the vehicles to keep it cool. So those are all important things to make sure when it is temperatures like this, 120 degrees, you really have to concentrate on and be smart about it.
So you've got them pretty well trained for the conditions you're in.
I would say so, definitely.
Colonel, how does this deployment compare to when you were deployed in Kosovo?
Well, definitely. I would say it's more dangerous. I mean, this is a real world mission, no question about it. That it's important what we're doing and escorting the convoys and making sure that supplies are getting up into Iraq is important. It is the roads that we travel are roads that the enemy has used to attack before and use IEDs on the roadways. And that's part of the training that we went through, is making sure counter IED and understanding how the enemy operates. And so we make sure that we're looking for them, that we're finding them, we're defeating them, and using our EOD, our assets to make sure we defeat those. So it's a serious mission but a good mission. The fact that I've been in Iraq before and we saw the effects of IEDs, we knew how to counter them and fight against them, is something I think that myself as a leader can use, and other leaders I've had. That there are about 35 to 40% that have deployed before, but somewhere around 60-65% of the soldiers have never deployed before. So some are new to it and did a lot of learning while they were at Fort McCoy, but a lot of the leaders have a good understanding of what we face.
Colonel, you mentioned that you're replacing the 119th out of Michigan. How was their deployment, and what have you learned from them so far?
They have done an excellent job. They really are an outstanding unit. They traveled about approximately 2.5 million miles. But for real, 2.5 million miles. They had no rollover accidents. They had no what we call Class A or Class B accidents, which are serious accidents where somebody would get injured, would have to be sent home because of it. They've really had a good safety record. That's a big thing that we concentrate on and train on. We know that safety is important, so we're always talking about that. Smart drivers that know how to control the rate of speed that they go, that they're not, you know, doing anything that would be out of the ordinary, not taking any unnecessary risks. So all those things weigh into what we do, you know, as leaders. In the military, we know it's a serious business that we're in. We know it it has risk, but we then manage risk and mitigate it where we can. And that's probably the important lesson that we've taken away from them and that we've learned and trained on. So we're confident in what we're doing. We know that it is serious, but we're ready to take that on.
Well, Colonel, they put a lot of miles on that equipment, and you're taking over some of that equipment. What kind of shape is it in?
It's actually in really good shape. That's one of the things that we show up with. That they've had and that we have is a full maintenance crew. We work to maintain the equipment. We have good access to parts, good access to tires. Tires is a big thing with the heat. They do wear down, so you're constantly doing services on the vehicles and maintaining them. And that's a constant thing that you're battling. But I would say while we were in McCoy, we worked on the same machinery, same trucks. We're able to maintain them and keep them at a. We rate our operational readiness rate. We were able to keep them at 98% throughout our train up. That's about a rate they've been able to maintain here, and we would expect to do that too, meaning that we shouldn't have more than 2% of our vehicles down any time as they roll out and make sure that we're continuing to be successful.
Colonel, I don't want to violate any security, but are most of these missions, are they day trips where you come back every night, or are you out for more than one day at a time?
Right. It really depends on the mission, depends on the convoy, what we're supporting, what we're doing. It could be anywhere from 2 days up to 10 days or longer without getting into specifics of what they would be or when they would be. There's some short ones and some longer ones.
And Colonel, I know you and your soldiers went through some pre-deployment training, but how much support, what kind of support have you had from families and the communities back home?
Oh, we've had outstanding support, really, really great support from the families and the communities. Really starting from our deployment ceremonies, the communities did a great job of organizing those to send everybody off and really show the soldiers that the communities are supportive of them and the families are supportive of them. They did a great job there just telling them that they were there for them while they were going to be gone and will be there for them when they get back. We have the Yellow Ribbon Network that's been supportive. My unit, one of the 194, is headquartered out of Brainerd. But the units include St. Cloud, East St. Paul, Alexandria, Sauk Center, and all those communities have worked really hard to help support the units, support the soldiers, and they've been doing a great job. Things like packages, letters, all those kind of things. You'd be amazed at the amount of mail that comes through just within the 45 days of McCoy, and already seeing guys, soldiers get packages from back home, and I think that helps them feel connected and stay connected with family. And then we have a lot of other pieces, kind of the modern-day part that really wasn't there, say, when I was in Bosnia before, is the things like Facebook and Skype and those kind of things. And we still have telephone where everybody can call and talk. That's kind of still what us old-timers use more. But the computer piece, that the social networking really helps, I think, guys stay connected. Instead of, you know, might be 4, 5, 6 days before they could have called in the past, they're able to get right on computers right away at our MWR facilities and send messages home through Facebook or other social networking to let them know they're here and that they're safe.
Colonel, we're just about out of time. What would you have to say to the families back here about the soldiers under your command?
Well, I would let them know that they're doing a terrific job. They've done a great job all the way through train up. They are fully ready to fight and ready to go for the mission. They've already done a great job and are highly motivated. I would say the morale is very high, and they're ready to get to work. And so we greatly appreciate the support, the prayers, and everything we're getting from the families and friends, and we appreciate all that.
Colonel Melton, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you very much, Tom.
That was Lieutenant Colonel Brian Melton, the battalion commander of the 1st Battalion, 194th Combined Arms Battalion. We have links
Welcome
to more information
to
the Minnesota
Facebook
Military Radio
Minnesota
Hour.
Military
Thanks for joining us. I'm Tom Lyons. It's
week,
time for the Commissioner's
Yellow Ribbon,
a weekly update from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs
and their families.
Now here's Commissioner
support,
Larry Shelley.
Services and Resources.
Let's visit this week's Support Our Troops Showcase.
Next week, the Minnesota
Assistant
Council
where someone just like
for
you
Veterans
and I
is hosting
out of their
a stand-down
to make a difference
to
in the life of a service member
veterans.
Or military family.
The event focuses
as an organization
on bringing
that supports service
location.
Members and their families.
We know that
Beyond
otherwise,
the Yellow Ribbon is always proud to field calls from employers
and
interested in hiring veterans. Well known for their leadership, teamwork, and integrity, veterans can provide many of the skills that top employers are looking
on
for.
On site will be our
Recently,
staff here
Erin
at
Selzer
Department
and her
veterans
boss,
affairs.
An Air Force veteran,
veteran
were talking
service
about expanding. They needed
the
individuals
Guard
with training,
units,
a good work ethic,
homeless
and proven
shelter
skills.
Programs,
Erin and others from Northwestern Mutual, a Collins Resource Group,
veterans affairs,
agreed that the character and motivation veterans displayed
These groups
would help
are
their company
to
succeed.
Their resources to
a plan to look
the
to the military community for new employees was put into motion.
Events will take place
Erin
at base
contacted
camp
Beyond the Yellow Ribbon
in Fort
to learn how
Snelling,
they could find veterans
which
to
is
hire.
The new location
she learned
the
about the employer partnership
stand-up.
Of the Armed Forces,
this program
which allowed
works.
Her company to post jobs and
to
search for resumes
McPhee
uploaded by
for
service
organizing
members.
This incredible
and she learned
event
how to get involved with her
like
local
it.
Yellow
year
Ribbon network
after year,
to tap into veterans in her community looking for new employment opportunities. Thank you, Commissioner Shelley. Northwestern
you
Mutual
can find out more
Financial
about
Minnesota
network.
Department of Veterans Affairs Minnesota companies that provide viable employment opportunities for service members
or online at MinnesotaVeteran.org.
Thank you, Northwestern Mutual
this week,
Financial
Nathaniel
Network
Salt
for showcasing
us.
How Minnesota
is Metro Regional Manager
Beyond the Yellow Ribbon.
The Minnesota Assistance
Beyond
Council
the Yellow
for
connect service
Mac
members
B.
and their families with
Mr.
organizations,
Results,
agencies,
to the Minnesota
companies,
Military Radio Hour.
Community
thank you.
Support,
thank you very
training,
much for
services,
me.
And resources.
Can you tell me what
bring
is
our
the Minnesota
Assistance
Council
for Veterans? To learn
we
how you can,
statewide
Northwestern Mutual Financial Network, make a difference in the life of a service member or family, visit BeyondTheYellowRibbon.org. When we return,
and we
we'll
have
take a look at help available for our homeless vets
Metro
at this
area,
year's Veterans
Standouts.
That's right here on News Talk 100.3 FM. This is the Minnesota
housing,
Military Radio Hour.
And rental assistance and legal services for veterans that are at risk or are homeless. And unfortunately, it is a problem in Minnesota as it is everywhere. And the estimate is that there are over 700 veterans experiencing homelessness on any given night in our state, and over 4,000 over the course of a year, we'll experience at least one episode of homelessness. In our organization, we do what we can in these different areas and with our outreach and connecting up with other services such as the VA and the Department of Veterans Affairs to help all veterans that are in this situation throughout the state.
How do we know how many homeless veterans might be out there, and how do you get in contact with them? How do you reach out to them?
Well, the numbers are tricky. The Wilder Center does a survey where they go out to all the shelters and interview everybody that's in the shelters or unsheltered that are homeless. And part of what they ask is, have you ever served in the military? There are also estimates based that the VA has on how many homeless veterans there are in the nation and in the states. And so we use those numbers when we're talking about how many homeless veterans. We do outreach to the different homeless shelters in the state through the Department of Veterans Affairs, through the County Veterans Service Officers, a lot of our different partner agencies, the VA hospital, the people that come in touch with the homeless population that talk to them and get to find out, is this individual a veteran? And then they'll refer them and connect them up to us for services.
Now, Mr. Saltz, I heard Commissioner Shelley talk about an upcoming stand down. Being a Vietnam veteran, I'm familiar with that term, but can you explain that to our listeners?
Well, sure. I'm here with a veteran, Paul, who maybe can explain the military terminology, and then I'd be happy to talk about what our upcoming stand-down is.
You brought a guest with you, Paul Mackey. And Paul, can you tell us what a stand-down is?
Well, yes, sir, Mr. Lyons. I'm pleased to be here, and thank you. And at least in my thought, my knowledge of in the military terminology of a stand-down is being in a rest and refitting mode after and before another active mission or engagement, and hopefully in an area with a very low danger potential, a place to just kick back, relax, you know, change your socks.
And we've taken that concept into a two-day event, one-stop kind of shop for veterans to come in and get services. The VA hospital will be there on site providing a clinic. We have hot meals, haircuts, new socks, military surplus, sleeping bags, boots, coats, housing providers, employment providers, volunteer attorneys to help take care of legal barriers that a veteran may face, to try to wrap around to connect up with all the services that may be impediments to obtaining and maintaining housing, PTSD counseling and services, any type of recovery services, chaplaincy, and a lot more.
So just like when we're in a war zone, getting off the front lines and getting back to a base camp and getting cleaned up and clean uniforms and warm meals and medical treatment, those type of things, and a little rest.
Yep, we've got great food, and we do a lot of the outreach to the homeless shelters and to people that we know are homeless, but also any veteran is welcome. The services that we provide tend to be focused towards what somebody that's homeless or at risk of becoming homeless may need, but this is an event for veterans. And so if there are veterans that are listening or veterans that know other veterans that may need these services, men, women, young veterans coming back recently, veterans from Vietnam, from any service period, please feel free and welcome to come to the Stand Down event, which is at the new Boy Scout Base Camp facility at Fort Snelling, which is at 201 Bloomington Road in Fort Snelling. If you take the light rail to the Fort Snelling station, we will be providing a shuttle from there to the event. There's also parking right there on site.
We're speaking with Nathaniel Saltz and his guest, Paul Mackey. Nathaniel is from the Metro Regional Manager of the Minnesota Assistance Council for Veterans, MACV, on the Minnesota Military Radio Hour here on Newstalk 100.3 FM. Now, I understand you've held these stand-downs in the Twin Cities and around the state for how many years?
I think they've been going on for about 15 years. MACV has been doing them. This is our fifth year doing the stand-downs, and we have also one in Duluth coming up later in the month on August 24th. In September, we're going to be holding a stand-down in Rochester, in October in Mankato, and more information can also be found on our website, which is www.mac-v.org.
And what was your experience last year? How many people came and how many people helped and how many people graduated from the streets?
We had 732 veterans come over the course of the 2 days. About half of those veterans were experiencing homelessness when they came in. We have had about over 200 volunteers. We have over 60 service providers that are going to be coming in there to help out the veterans that are coming. As far as the numbers, you know, we get a lot of people talking about that they got connected up with services, they got connected up with housing and the people that they met and the personal stories. As far as the numbers of people that found housing at the event, I'm not sure. But I know from speaking to many people that they did get connected up with their services during the stand down event.
So are you preparing for a similar number this year then?
We are. We're preparing for that. We're preparing for more so that we have enough services and enough food for any veterans that may come in for the course of the event.
All right, great. We have to take a short break, but we'll continue our conversation with Nathaniel Saltz and Paul Mackey after a short break. This is the Minnesota Military Hour Radio Hour on Newstalk 100.3 FM. Please stay with us. Welcome back to the Minnesota Military Radio Hour. Today we're talking to Nathaniel Saltz, the Metro Regional Manager for the Minnesota Assistance Council for Veterans, MACV. Nathaniel, can you give us the dates of this upcoming stand down in the Twin Cities, and once again, how many more are around the state?
The dates for the upcoming stand down next week, Tuesday and Wednesday, August 2nd and 3rd, both days from 8 in the morning until 5 in the afternoon. Then we've got a Duluth event coming up at the Depot there in Duluth, August 24th, and the Bemidji event will be September 28th, Grand Rapids September 29th, and the new Rochester stand-down is going to be October 4th. We're going to be having a November event in Mankato, and the date for that will be posted on our website, www.mac-v.org.
Thank you. Now, you brought a guest today, Paul Mackey. Paul, you're a Vietnam veteran, musician, you've been a volunteer for the stand-downs, and you've been homeless. Can you give me your perspective on stand-downs and how important are they to our homeless veterans?
Well, I think they're way more than important. They're, I've worked both sides of the fence on the stand-down issue back in the mid-90s when I was not homeless. I was still employed and gainfully, so I had the opportunity to participate as an AA outreach worker at standouts that we had at the University of Minnesota. I don't know how many of you remember those events, and those were overnight events also, by the way. And now this year, as I am technically homeless, although I am a resident of the MACV program, as being described by my friend Nathaniel Saltz here, and but I'm still in need of some of these services, which are legal and which are also DMV. Folks will be there if you need some driver's license issues resolved or any type of things like that, which I personally look forward to doing. And it's just a wonderful opportunity. And anybody that's within our listening range of our voices today and or the posters that are out there, please make every effort that you can to get out there, because you'll be glad you did. And not only in the actual benefits that are there offered to you as services and as clothing and things like this nature, but it's also an opportunity to connect up with other veterans that you might have been out in the cold for a long time. And veterans understand veterans, and we talk our own kind of jargon, and you can get in there. And it's also a wonderful it builds up camaraderie again, and morale. It's a morale booster. I know when I worked on the AA side of it, I felt just tuned into these fellows that kept coming in and out. And it's just not for fellow veterans either. It's for the ladies, young ladies, older women too. You know, there's female veterans up the wazoo out there, and probably in the same straits some of us men are, that might be homeless or in a near homeless situation or in a bad social situation of some sort. So I would encourage everybody to come out there.
Now, Paul, from your standpoint, having been homeless at one time, is the MACV doing a pretty good job of reaching out and letting the homeless veterans know that this is going on, the stand down is happening?
Well, yes, I think so. We've been doing everything we can, and there's folks that are in the program that are residents that are running flyers all over town and just beating on doors and putting the word out on the street. Word of mouth itself is a wonderful tool and mechanism for getting the word out, especially for homeless guys.
So these veterans understand what it is.
Absolutely.
And they're looking forward to it, I would bet.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I know I'm revved up.
I can tell. We've got just about a minute left. I'm going to come back to you, Mr. Saltz. Can you tell us once again, where can people go for information and how can they help?
Well, I think people can do the most help by letting veterans know that this event is going on. And by if you're a veteran that needs to help, please feeling free and welcome to come to the event. And the phone number again that more information can be reached at is 612-726-1327, or on the MACV website, www.mac-v.org. And just letting folks know, getting the word out, like Paul said, we may not be able to get in touch with all the veterans that need the help, but other veterans are there that know them and can reach out and connect up with them.
Well, you're doing a great job. Thank you.
Thank you.
And Paul, thanks for coming in and telling us your story.
Well, thank you very much. I'm proud to do it.
That was Nathaniel Saltz and his guest, Paul Mackey. Nathaniel's with the Metro Regional Manager of the Minnesota Assistance Council for Veterans, MACV. We have links to more information on Facebook and at MinnesotaMilitaryRadioHour.com. Let's take a look in the mailbag to see the listener question of the week. Joining us today is Sergeant First Class Melanie Nelson from Beyond the Yellow Ribbon. Melanie, welcome to the show.
Hi, Tom. Well, our letter today comes from Robert. Robert writes, I saw a letter to the editor in my post bulletin from the mayor of Austin. He was encouraging the community members to attend a Beyond the Yellow Ribbon meeting where we would learn how to support troops and their families. Unfortunately, I missed the meeting, but I am very interested in this idea. Will there be future meetings and opportunities in Austin?
Sergeant Nelson, did you hear how the kickoff event in Austin went? And will there be more opportunities for Robert to get involved?
I did, Tom. I wasn't at the kickoff myself, though I am known to attend many of them. Austin, there were more than 30 people that were very excited and leaders in the community that were ready to put together a steering committee to begin the process to become a Yellow Ribbon community. And one of the people at that event there was Pat Carroll. He works for the local Family Assistance Center in Mankato. And all the Family Assistance Centers are great resources for anyone who wants to get involved with the network. You call up your local Family Assistance Center. We call them FACS because, you know, we love acronyms. And they'll let you know if there is a network. I also have to tell you, of course, at our website, beyondtheyellowribbon.org, you can sign up to receive an events and deals card every week. And every week I send that out and I let people know what's going on and what kickoffs are. For example, Tom, this last week and a half, we had 6 kickoffs in different communities in Minnesota. Can you believe that?
That's quite a pile of them.
It is. And with that many kickoffs, guess what? There is even more coming up here in the next week and a half. And, of course, they're available at our website, or you can email me or contact your FAC. And there's another really neat thing in the Yellow Ribbon Community World coming up soon, Tom.
A Yellow Ribbon Summit, I'll bet.
You got it. It's this will be Governor Dayton's first Yellow Ribbon Proclamation, and he'll be proclaiming a handful of cities and a company with that Yellow Ribbon Proclamation that they've worked so hard on action plans to achieve. So we're looking forward to that here at the end of August.
That's terrific. Thanks, Melody.
Thank you, Tom.
If you have a question, we'd love to hear from you. Visit us on Facebook and at MinnesotaMilitaryRadioHour.com. We're just about out of time. Thanks for listening to this edition of the Minnesota Military Radio Hour. I'd like to thank our guests for joining us this week, Lieutenant Colonel Brian Melton from the 1st Battalion, 194th Combined Arms Battalion, Nathaniel Saltz from the Minnesota Assistance Council for Veterans, and his guest Paul Mackey, Commissioner Larry Shelladeau of the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, and finally, Minnesota's Adjutant General, Major General Rick Nash. Please join us next week as we talk about the signature wound of the Iraq and Afghanistan War, traumatic brain injury, and we talk with soldier-turned-legislator Representative John Creasel. That's next Sunday morning at 7 right here on News Talk 100.3 FM. I'm Tom Lyons, and I hope that you make a difference in someone's life this week.
You've been listening to the Minnesota Military Radio Hour with host Tom Lyons. Tom is the founder and owner of Phalon Partners Limited, a merger and acquisition advisory firm located in Minneapolis. He's also a Vietnam veteran of the United States Air Force. We hope you found this program to be informative and entertaining. This has been a production of KTLK, Clear Channel, MinnesotaMilitaryRadioHour.com, the Minnesota National Guard, BeyondTheYellowRibbon.org, and the Minnesota Department of Veteran Affairs. Podcasts of this program are available at MinnesotaMilitaryRadioHour.com. Thanks for listening.